You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Welcome, everybody, to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on a Sunday night to talk about the tell-all Happily Ever After Episode 2. What's cracking?
What's cracking? All right, so tonight's episode, I feel like we were basically done, and then I realized afterward they hadn't talked to Georgie and Darcy, which I didn't care. But they basically have covered all the bases, right? Like, so I don't know what the other two parts are going to entail. Maybe they're going to go back to the house.
Yeah, because I didn't show those scenes that were in those previews where, remember, like, where, like, Doormat overhears, I guess, Jasmine talking, like, at the house or something. So there's a lot of house stuff they haven't aired.
Yeah, I think we're, like, almost done with the studio, though. Like, I think we're going to, I think next week we're going to see her, Julia, tell Betty and Ron. But that's, like, what, 5 minutes? And then we got to see Darcy and Georgie tell their story, which there is none. So I would say that's another 10 minutes. And then I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. So I guess we're going to go home to the tell-all house and watch the Florida couples fight with each other some more. And then Jasmine and Matt and Gino yell at each other. You know, I guess that's what we're in for. And I mean, honestly, I'm okay with watching the stuff in the house. It's a little less predictable. I don't know what to expect. So it's a little more entertaining. Like when they were doing the scenes tonight where Libby and Andre and Lauren and Jovi were trying to catch Doormat lying about his phone number. Like I was entertained by that. I don't know. I was kind of entertained by it.
Yeah. I don't mind the house stuff. Like it's just the only parts I mind is like in the studio with Sean Robinson, with the people that I'm not interested in. For example, when they started off the show with like the Florida couples in the studio, you know, in the tell-all part, that was boring to me. I don't really give a crap. And then, yeah. And then even with like, I know it's like with Julia, it's like, and then it's annoying too with like the Julia thing, because they announced that news on the official 90 Day Fiancé account like months ago, a couple months ago, whatever it was, with that she's pregnant. And it's like, that kind of takes away from the excitement. So no one really gives a fuck.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm not trying to be rude. I said this online and I didn't look and see what people said, but Julia is being really annoying with her pregnancy. Like she's kind of acting like she's the first woman ever to get pregnant. And it's really annoying. Like you ever heard of the show Bridezillas? She's like a pregnant womanzilla. Like she is milking that. Like if it's a teat, her pregnancy is a teat. There's no more milk in it. She's milked it to the point where the teat is about to fall the fuck off. Like I am so tired of her. I'm pregnant. Like I get it, bitch. You're pregnant. I get it. You're not the first lady to push out a baby before. Like she's really annoying. And she's like, oh, I'm so high risk. And I'm just worried and I can't tell anyone. I was like, if you were really high risk, because I've met a lot of high risk pregnant women in my life, the last thing they would ever do is get on an airplane. Because that's extremely dangerous, because if anything goes wrong on that flight, that could result in you losing your baby because you're high risk and there's no doctor, there's no medical facility in the air. So I was like, if you really, really, really were worried about your baby's well-being, you would have skipped the tell-all. Right? You would have.
She's all dramatic. And then like Sean Robinson has to like calm her down. Like, don't worry, calm down. We got you. Breathe. Like, it'll be fine. Like everyone's all consoling her and shit.
Yeah. And also if you're high risk, the last thing you need to be doing is crying and worrying, because that's like really bad for the baby, because you can miscarry just from worrying.
And then I got annoyed when like, I understand there's like a time difference with like Julia's parents. where it was like 11:30 p.m. or something. But I got annoyed where they were like, "Oh, let's call them. Maybe if we're lucky, they'll be awake." And of course, it's like not only are they awake, not only are they on a Zoom with the producers probably so they could the producers could record it, but everyone's like on the Zoom call together, ready to be on the tell-all. It's like we let's stop pretending like it was a chance that they were awake at 11:30.
Yeah, they both were ready to answer the call. And keep in mind, Julia's parents live in different places. So they were both awake, both not preoccupied with anything else, both answered right away. So it was a scheduled call. Whether or not they really knew she was pregnant or not, that's to be debated. But yeah, that was definitely practice. And, they had Ron and Betty waiting on Zoom as well. Like, this is all bullshit, right? And I'm sorry, but I don't believe that anybody would actually wait 6 months to tell their parents that they're pregnant for their first baby. I just don't believe that. I really don't. Like, I know when my sister's daughter, my niece, she got pregnant. She actually just had a baby a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and she didn't tell her mom for almost 3 months. And the funny part about it is I was talking to my psychic because she got pregnant right around the time my mom passed away. So I was talking to my psychic about that. And my mom mentioned to the psychics, we were channeling my mom, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm just sad that I couldn't see Kenya's baby." And I'm like, "Mama, what you talking about? Kenya not pregnant." And so my mom knew that she was pregnant when she passed away. But women tend to look at other women and they know if they're pregnant or not. So yeah, I just don't believe that. Her parents, his parents, I think that that's all bullshit. I think the storyline was, ooh, you don't tell them and then you surprise them at to tell all. I think it was written that way.
Yeah, and people need to realize anytime this isn't specific to the tell-all, but anytime like on 90 Day Fiance, if there's if there's like a FaceTime call or a Zoom call with like video, what you need to realize is there's probably also like a producer on the Zoom call as well, and they're like probably recording it, but they're also like directing it. So there's always like a producer on the same Zoom call. It's not like chance or something.
Yeah, they're being coached, and you've probably been waiting for your turn on Zoom for 4 or 5 hours. Like, you've been on there, you've been waiting, and yeah, it's a whole thing. Oh, and I want to say this too, though, because I was kind of harsh at the beginning. I'm not saying that I don't have any sympathy for the fact that she had miscarriages and she struggled to get pregnant. I just want to put that out there. I know how difficult that is. I'm just like annoyed at how annoying she's being with the pregnancy because she's making it seem like it's a huge worry, but she got on an airplane. Like the first thing
Yeah, she's making it seem like she's pregnant with like the royal child.
exactly. Like this child is gonna be born and run a royal, court. And it's like, yeah, you're pregnant. I'm happy for you. It's a blessing. And I know it wasn't easy for her to get pregnant. She had to take a lot of steps, but girl, you're not the first girl to get pregnant, right? Like, you're not the first girl to have a high-risk pregnancy. Like, and if you really worried about your baby's well-being, you wouldn't have got on no airplane to film a tell-all. People be yelling at tell-alls. They be throwing things at people. They be screaming at each other. If you worried about your baby's well-being, you wouldn't put that baby in that environment, right? I think you wouldn't.
True, and then I'm switching gears, but like, what'd you think of the whole like the truth or dare thing? Like, were you surprised that Kara was like all buddy buddy? Jasmine was there, and like everyone was kind of getting along, and the truth or
Yeah,
dare
it
thing.
definitely didn't seem like Kara had an issue with Jasmine tonight.
Yeah.
Because, last week, a lot of people were saying, oh, Kara is coming for Jasmine, and you can tell they don't get along. She doesn't like her. It didn't seem that way tonight. They were definitely buddy-buddy, which makes it seem like what you said was true. She was the sleeper soldier, and they were like, whoever decides to go against Jasmine and start shit with Jasmine, you get an extra $500. And I think Kara.
Maybe Cap said that, but yeah, I agree.
Oh yeah, I think because yeah, I don't think that there's no real animosity because they seem totally fine. If I don't like somebody, you're not gonna see me what's it, kumbayaing with them and playing truth or dare and laughing and giggling and having fun. I'm gonna look at them like I don't like you. So yeah, I think that she might be right. Captain was probably right. They were like, somebody needs to go against her. And there's probably a bonus. There's an incentive in it if it's you. And Carl was like, shit, if you paying. I'm slaying, like, oh, let's go. She was like, let's go. I don't have a problem with that.
True. I'm gonna bounce around and like, and eventually I'll get and reread my tweets. And I know I did some tweets about the truth or dare. So I'm gonna like bounce around a little bit on subjects. But So we'll come back to Truth or Dare, but what did you think when she was trying to get, I can't remember if it was take Guillermo's name off the deed or the loan, but get his name out off the house.
Oh yeah. So basically this is a complicated thing for me because I tweeted a lot about it. And Kara is saying that financially she took out the loan, she put the down payment down and everything, but she added them to the lease because they're married, not the lease, the deed, because they're married. So now she feels like since he didn't contribute anything financially to the house, then it's her house. And I agree with her to a financial extent, like to a logical extent, it is yours. But when you get married, because y'all know I don't believe in marriage, first of all, when you get married, anything that you accumulate together is your property together or anything. So money, cars, houses, boats, whatever you did together, you have to split that. So I don't think that Kara fully understands how marriage works. There's no mine when you get married. And if you married a broke dude, he still gets half of your money. So that you can't.
You're right, but apparently he's not really putting up mu up much of a fight, so it seems like she's getting her way.
Well, yeah, because I think he doesn't want her to try to challenge his status. So he's probably just like, you know, if she wants to fight me, I'm not gonna fight back because I don't want her to go and try to get me deported. You know, as soon as you piss off an Amer the American side, they're like, I'm gonna get an annulment and I'm gonna get you deported. That's the first thing that they say. So he probably was like, it's not really worth, you know, fighting over it. He's not gonna live in the house with her, and she's not gonna buy him out of the loan. She doesn't have, I don't know how much their house costs, but she doesn't have half of it to buy him out of the loan. So he probably looks at it as, and if she was to give him the house, he probably can't afford it. So it's not really worth the fight.
Yeah, and then he said something, a couple things. So he said yeah, if we didn't have a kid together, because it seems like so she's since they have a child together, Nico or whatever, it's like she has a modicum of respect for him since that's her baby's daddy. And he pointed that out. I was like, yeah, if we didn't have a kid together, she would give me zero respect. But the way it is now, she probably gets some 5 to 10% respect. But that seems like that's a real, I agree with that. That's definitely the case.
I mean, this is, I was thinking about this earlier and I tweeted as well. And all right, so I think I clocked Kara on this. I think that Kara doesn't respect Guillermo because Kara looks at a man the way a stereotypical woman would look at a man. A man is a provider, a protector. He takes care of you. He pays for everything. He makes you feel like you don't have to do anything. And I think Kara expected that from Guillermo. And I was like, I don't know why. She expected that from him because he was the waiter at the restaurant, right, where she was getting drunk at, and she banged that waiter. And I was like, he never came across as the type that was going to come over here and take care of her. Guillermo is always going to be the good-looking guy who probably ain't got no money. That's kind of his MO, right? I remember he had a good job with good insurance. He's like, I ain't doing this. And he quit. He's always going to be that guy who gets by on his looks. So I'm confused as to why she thought he was going to ever live up to her expectations of what she thought a man should be, because he's never given her that inclination that he was ever going to be that. He's always been a boy toy. And that's exactly who she married. So when she married him, and she was like, well, I don't respect him. And he's like, she it's not equal. And I was like, well, yeah, she looks at you as a burden. You're a financial burden to her. But she knew that when she married you. She knew that when she met you, you were.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, This is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
A waiter, and you was perfectly happy doing that. You had no interest in doing anything that was going to make you $100,000 a year, and she knew that. So I don't know. It's kind of hypocritical for me that she treats him like that.
Yeah, he has the same attitude as like a hot chick, where it's like I'm gonna ride on my looks or whatever. And then and as far as like her drinking, like I kind of feel for Guillermo there, because like I imagine when because he even said like, yeah, she calls me like motherfucker or another shit like that. And I feel like she's probably one of those people where it's like she's really nice when she's sober, and then when she drinks, like the mean side comes out. So when she drinks, she's like the nasty side comes out of her. And like I can understand from that. I've been in that position of like being with somebody who's like a maniac when they're drunk, like they're kind of an asshole. So I'm sure when she drinks, she has, and again, I love Cara. I'm team Cara. I think she's like amazing. That's part of her problem. She has like too much going for her. So she's a lot of options. So it's hard for her to like be the, you know, like the real loyal person. But anyway, yeah, I think she probably does have a drinking problem. And I bet when she drinks, she turns into a giant asshole.
Yeah, she probably, alcohol is probably truth serum for her. So like how she feels, like, you know how there's what you say versus how you feel, like your words, when you say things, you try to shield people's feelings. Maybe when Cara drinks, the filter of shielding feelings is gone. And she kind of just says what's really on her mind. Because, you know, if every married couple said what they felt versus shielding each other's feelings, there would be no left married couples in the world.
I think it's even deeper than just like sharing her true feelings. I think, and again, maybe I'm projecting my own personal experience into like this relationship, but I think it's deeper than just like expressing your feelings. I think it could be a thing where it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of situation, where it's like, it's a whole different personality of like, just like straight mean, like just mean and evil. Like it's like a whole new person that's just like nasty.
Wow.
It's not just truthful, but just like nasty. Like I feel like when she drinks, she's just like super nasty.
So kind of like a mean girl, like the, because you know the movie Mean Girls, the really pretty girls are really mean. So mm-hmm. You think that she has like that mean girl streak where, and you know, the pretty, if a girl is pretty and she knows that she's pretty, she can be pretty nasty. Right? Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. So, and we know that Cara knows that she's pretty. We know she's pretty. She knows she's pretty. Everybody knows she's pretty. So she knows that she can talk to people however she wants, because at the end of the day, who's going to stop her? She's hot, right? Like, who's going to tell her to stop talking to people crazy? And I think at the end of the day, Guillermo and Cara are imbalanced because they're both pretty. And I always tell people this. I was like, you can't be in a relationship with somebody that's prettier than you, because it's always going to be a fight between, you know, who's in charge. Because usually it's better balance when a pretty person is with a decent looking person. So they, you know your role. You know that the pretty person is going to win the argument and the pretty person is going to get their way. And I think when you put two pretty people together, it's going to be a constant bumping of heads, because Guillermo is like, well, I'm hot. You should want me and respect me just because of how hot I am. And Cara is the same way. Like, I'm fucking hot, out of your league. You should respect me. And if I want to stay out till 4 a.m. with a DJ, I'm hot. What are you going to do about it? And I think that's why they butted heads.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing anchoring Cara is like her son. Like if she had no son, she'd be getting new dick like 5 minutes like after the marriage ended. Like she'd be getting new dick 5 minutes after. But the fact she has a son, she's like, it slows her down a little bit.
Oh no, I think Cara might be out there having fun.
Yeah, that's true, because like, wasn't it, I don't remember how long ago it was, but like, I don't know, like 6 months ago, there was like, I can't remember where it was, but there was like a boxing match or whatever. And so she did somebody, like, I don't know, like she flew, it was like a promotional thing where she got flown out to like some boxing match. And then she was out and about like ringside, all smiling ear to ear. And then there was like some photos of her like in like a sports car. And like, so yeah, I'm sure she's having her fun too. So,
yeah, I think, and I mean, she is separated, you know, separated is not together. I think that she's out there having fun. And it's interesting because they brought up the DJ and they said his name on the show, but it's not,
there, right?
Yeah, it's not the DJ that we were thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about DJ Husky, but on the show tonight, they said the guy's name. I think his name was Javier.
Yeah, but do we know DJ Husky's real name though?
Oh, see, now you're making sense. We don't. let me see. You might be right. Hold on a second. All right.
I wonder if even DJ Husky's famous enough.
DJ Husky.
He mean I don't know if he's famous enough for his
Oh,
group.
yeah, you're right. Oh, wait. The real name. His name is Jonathan. Wait a minute. Is this him? Hold on. Before I say it, let me make sure this is him. There's, he's not super famous, so I gotta make sure. Oh yeah, his name is DJ Husky Pachata. So his name is Jonathan Lilo.
Is Jonathan like white name for Javier?
I don't think so,
No,
but
I'm kidding.
I don't know Spanish. So I don't know. It could be. But yeah, so this is a different guy. I wish I knew. Hold on. I'm gonna go on Kara's page and see if Javier, if I can find him based on his name. Cause I just wanna see what he looks like. Right? I just wanna see what he looks like. That's all. Like, I just wanna know.
Like I don't think I, like this is, I'm just being funny, but like so this is not the same like this is not the same guy that Carr is like fucking around with, but like I found it funny because I just Googled and there, and I'm not saying this is him. I'm not saying this is like T on anything, but it's just funny because, and this is an AI thing, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it says DJ Husky Javier is likely. Oh wait, I don't actually know. This is like, you know, an AI gives you like a answer that's like does is like total AI bullshit. So this is AI slop, but so there's a DJ Javier, but it's not DJ Husky, but there's a Cuban DJ based in the UK who's named DJ Javier, but I thought it was DJ Husky Javier, but then the AI kind of tripped me up. So anyway, there's some guy in the UK, but there's DJ Javier, but he's in the UK. It's not DJ Husky though.
Yeah, I'm not seeing him on here either. Like when I put in Javier, it's not nothing's coming up. So because he might go by his DJ name. Damn,
True.
I just gotta see what he looks like.
I'll do some digging like for the next show.
Yeah, we'll find him. You can't hide from us. We'll find you. Oh wait, there is a guy named Javier that she follows, and his profile picture is him on a boat kissing his wife.
Would no, but didn't she say like he has a wife, but then there's his he's separating too or something?
Yeah, they said, well, Guillermo was like, they're not together. And she's like, they're still legally married. So you know what that means. That means they're separated.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
means.
this one says ES, whatever country that is, to Seville, to Virginia, to North Carolina, to Augusta, to DC. He can't possibly live in all those places. But it doesn't say he's a DJ. Actually, this guy, it says he's a chef. This is probably not him. This is probably not him.
True.
But yeah, anyway, I think Kara probably is out there having a good time. She's too pretty to not be, right? Like, I don't know. And she said that the DJ that she was referring to, she said that even though he was married, he would bang her if she asked,
Yeah.
right? And I don't know. I don't know how that helped the situation for her to say that. I was like, how is that helpful? That's only gonna piss him off more. But I guess at this point they're not together. She doesn't really care. But I guess she was trying to make the point of, if I wanted that dick, I would have that dick. Because it's being offered to me on a daily basis. I just don't want it. I think that's what she was trying to say.
Like remember, I guess it was this season. It's hard to remember, but remember when they on this season, early in the season, like they had that like the cottage and they had like a romantic room or something. And you could tell though, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, when he took her out on the date.
Yeah, it was like a getaway or something. I don't know, but anyway, but I told you that he gives her like the ick and stuff, and
Yeah,
then.
you did say that. You did,
And then, like, and then if you recall on tonight's thing where they were in the studio, the tell-all was before they got in front of Sean Robinson, they were like in the backstage. And then Guillermo kind of touched her arm and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you touching my arm?" She was like grossed out just by him even touching her and stuff.
No, you're right. She did. And then the lap strip tease dance, I don't know what you call those, that he did for her, she definitely didn't look like she was having fun.
Yeah, she felt like she was being like molested or something.
Yeah, you know how if you're at a strip club and a girl's getting a lap dance, she's seeing, what do you call, the Magic Mike show. You know, she's having fun. Kara wasn't having fun. She was just like disgusted. So yeah, I do think you're right. And I don't know what it is that disgusts her about him, because she had plenty of time to get to know him. They live together in the Dominican Republic. So the idea that she didn't know she despised him until after they had a kid is weird, because they lived together. They spent so much time together. It's weird that it happened so far down the line. Like, she should have figured that out earlier.
Yeah, I think, and again, I don't know. Like, I think Carr's one of those people where it's like, I don't know if this is like a common thing or an uncommon thing or what, but she's one of those women where it's like an on-off switch for her, meaning like she's like the lovely wife or girlfriend or whatever, like the switch is on. Then like something happens, whether she's talking to another guy, having an emotional affair or something. But then like it's like an on off, and then all of a sudden the switch turns off, and all of a sudden like she's a lost cause. Like there's nothing you can win her back. And like I think she's one of those where it's like the switch flips off and like you're done. You're donezo. Like you're gonna give her the ick. She's not gonna fuck with you no more. You could have done nothing wrong other than she may have had like an emotional affair, but just based on that, the switch flipped from on or off, and she's as cold to you, and all of a sudden you're a piece of shit. So I think she's one of those like on off type women.
You might be right. You might be right. So after your question though, I have to ask you, do you feel bad for Guillermo? Because people online are like, oh, I feel bad for him. He's so sweet and he doesn't deserve to be treated like this. Do you actually like, I know you're Team Kara. That's not what I'm asking. Do you feel bad that Guillermo is like kind of getting kicked out of the situation and kicked out of the marriage? Or do you feel like this is just the cards he was dealt?
Like from an objective standpoint, yeah, feel bad, but then at the same time, like Guillermo has many saving graces. So first of all, he's a handsome dude. Second of all, he's like on television, so he's like he has a level of fame. So he has his DMs are probably lit up with women. So it's not if he was like an ugly dude in the same shoes, then I would feel exceptionally bad for him, because it's not like he has like chicks like blowing up his DMs. So like, yeah, it sucks that his car is basically done with him and his marriage is blown up. But at the same time, he's an attractive dude where like the chicks are all going to be after him, clamoring for him. So he's not going to spend too many like lonely nights if he doesn't want it. Like maybe if he wants a new chick, he can have one in 5 minutes. So I don't feel bad for him in that sense. But the marriage part, I feel bad. But overall, I don't feel bad because he'll be fine. But if it was like a regular dude, not on television, not like a handsome dude or whatever, like a regular Joe Schmo in the same shoes, and that person is dating Kara, and Kara fucks that person over, then I would feel really bad for that person. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree. I also think that he tried to tell, what's her name, Carl, she had to stop drinking. And you know, when you're in a relationship, especially a marriage, I think that you can't really tell people what they can and can't do. And I say this all the time. Like, for instance, Julia was like, Brandon, you can't tell your parents I'm pregnant, or you can't do that. I think telling your partner they cannot do something is a really bad thing when it comes to a relationship, because they're not property. Like, and I think when he told Kara, like, well, you have to stop drinking or we can't be together, I think that probably flipped the switch for her. Because it's a huge turnoff when a woman sees that first sign of being controlled or being manipulated, you know, because and even if it's a bad thing, I mean, even if your partner's on meth, obviously they shouldn't be on meth. But when you go and tell somebody, you can't do that, they're.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Just gonna want to do it more. You can't just tell people what they can and can't do when they're grown adults and make their own decisions. So when I heard him talk like that, he was like, well, I don't want her going out. I don't want her having male friends. I don't want her drinking. And I was like, you got a lot of demands. I was like, that's probably why she doesn't want to be with you anymore. Because Kara, it seems like the last person in the world that's gonna let a man control her. I feel like she's the most untamable woman out there, right? Like, I feel like she's gonna do what Kara wants to do no matter what.
But then at the same time, like, I mean, I agree with you, but then at the same time, like, the fact that she was only able to not drink for 2 weeks, I think that's, again, I love Cara, but if you try to stop drinking and you can only successfully stop drinking for 2 weeks, that could be a sign of like alcoholism where you're unable to stop even if you wanted to. So.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're 150,000% right. Because how you know you're not addicted to something is if you can take it away and you're okay. Like, because people are like, oh, I'm not addicted to cigarettes or I'm not addicted to vaping. So go and take away their cigarettes or their vapes and see how long they can last without freaking out. And it's the same with alcohol. If you say you're not addicted to it, then you say, I'm not going to go out for the next 5 Saturdays and I'm not going to drink. And if they can't handle that, you might be addicted to it. And you know, I think that alcohol, everything, I don't want to say alcohol, everything is okay in moderation. I don't love everything because I guess meth isn't. I guess, I mean, for certain things, it's okay in moderation. But, you know, if the alcohol affects your everyday life and you can't live your life without it, you know, then there could be an issue. But to demand your partner stop doing something, and because he just said it, like, I just don't like who she is when she drinks. You have to say, like, I want to make sure that you're here to see your son graduate high school, so I want you to stop. Like, you have to give them a reason why, other than just you want them to stop. And that's what helps with people that have addiction. It can't just be that I don't want you to do this. You have to give them a reason why them not doing it will improve their future and their life. And that's the only way you'll really get through to somebody.
Yeah, I feel like, and my advice to I used to always give it. I like remember I don't even know if I should bring up Liz, but when Liz would be on here, I'd always tell her like, "Hey, you need to like calm down your drinking because I think you're a fucking alcoholic too." But at the same time, the thing I was gonna say to Cara, similarly in the same vein, is like, yeah, I think obviously the Guillermo thing is like that ship has sailed. But I feel like in her next relationship, yeah, you're right. Like if you're in the middle of if you're in the middle of your existing marriage or your existing relationship, it's hard to tell your wife like, hey, stop drinking. Like she'll feel like you're trying to control her. But now that that relationship is done, the advice I'll give Cara on her next relationship, if in her next serious relationship, is I would say, and I know it's easier said than done, but like to try to work on that part of the baggage of her drinking problem issues. Like, don't bring that into a new relationship and say to yourself, hey, I'm gonna like try to really tone down my drinking for my next relationship so it doesn't fuck up shit up again. Because if she goes into her next relationship with the same drinking baggage of her Guillermo relationship, then the same shit's gonna happen again and it's gonna be a problem. So that's my advice to her, is to calm down her drinking too.
Yeah, and you know, maybe she should calm down on the relationships and just, 'cause I don't know, somebody tonight, I don't remember who said it, Andre or I don't remember, I can't remember who said it. They said she's not marriage material or she's not wife material. And it sounded mean, but as I analyzed the statement, I was like, she stays out till 4 in the morning. She doesn't like her husband. She loves to get drunk. She loves parties. It's like, maybe that's not a mean statement. Maybe that's a true statement. Maybe she is not a wife. You know, some women do perfectly fine not ever getting married because they want to be in control of their own life and they don't want to have children to tie them down. They don't want to have responsibilities to tie them down. And I feel like Cara falls into that category. She wants to live her best life. She wants to stay out late and everything. And I think that she was unable to juggle the two lifestyles, the working mom, loving wife, and the party girl, bachata singer. I think it was too difficult for her to balance the two. And you know, I think the marriage and the wife fell off the hill, right? Like she got tired of dragging everything up the hill. She just let those two go. And she kept what she really wanted. And I think the music and her nightlife is what is really genuinely close to her heart. And I think she should probably not get in another relationship until she is satisfied with where she's going with her music, because she's made it very freaking clear her music is more important than anything else.
Yeah, you know how everyone gets like slang at this point where they call like older men like unk, like you know, like uncle unk. So
Yeah.
I feel like until she's ready for her like auntie phase, aunt equivalent, I feel like yeah, she probably shouldn't be in like a serious relationship until she's ready to like you know let the you know like wind down on all on the nightlife shit.
Yeah, it's gonna continue to put her in the predicament where she has to choose between the two, and it's not fair for her, and it's not fair for anybody that she's in a relationship with, because she shouldn't have to be in that predicament to choose. She loves her music and her career. So don't ever put yourself in a situation where you feel like you have to choose between two, because basically that's what Guillermo said. He was like, she needs to be at home and be a wife. So she was in that predicament. It's like she chose what she really wanted, and unfortunately, it wasn't him.
Sure. All right, now I'm gonna go through my tweets or whatever and like read some of them. Let me see from like chronological order. So we may be backtracking on some earlier subjects. So let's see. We already talked about how I don't. Well, the first thing I said was I turned on the tell-all. I don't really care about the Florida couples bickering. Who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck? That's what the first thing I said. Then it went into like the truth or dare section. So, and then it was a you know, when Matt was like doormat was sucking Jasmine's toes, and I said, "Told you, Matt's a doormat. Now he's sucking Jasmine's toes on command." And then I got annoyed because It was supposed to be like a dare for Darcy. And then Jasmine says, "I dare you, Darcy, to let Kara lick on one of your nipples." And then my tweet says, "Jasmine's so dense. The dare for Darcy ends up being something Kara has to do." So that annoyed me, right?
I didn't even think of that. You're 100% right. She's such a deflection queen. I didn't even notice that. You're right, 100%.
Yeah, so that called that out, and I use it as a opportunity to call Jasmine dense. And then I pointed out, I said there was a shot with like the bartender, and I was like, it's funny how they hire a bartender to keep them drunk, but not a personal chef to keep them fed and sobering up. And yes, I understand they're trying to do salacious reality TV where the drunker debauchery is better for TV than actually feeding them and being sober, but I still wanted to make that tweet.
Yeah. I mean, the truth or dare game, I feel like it was almost scripted. Like, because one of the questions was, Kara was like, "Jasmine, do you love Matt the way you love Gino?" And I was like, that's a producer question. I don't think Kara would have, cared the answer to that. I feel like, so when I was watching the rest of it, I was like, oh man, they're reading a script, they're being coached what to say. This is part of the tell-all, right? Like, this is the unofficial part of the tell-all. This is where they're asking the questions they couldn't get Sean that get in there. They're having the cast members ask each other. Because I was like, I feel like at a normal truth or dare game, they wouldn't have been asking those type of serious questions. And first of all, that's a stupid question. Obviously, Jasmine never loved Gino. Like, that's a stupid question. She never loved Gino, obviously. And she has to at least like Matt, because they got a kid together. So that's like a dumb question in itself.
Yeah, it was stupid. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, producers probably they produced that question. And then were you surprised that like Kara was a team player enough to like lick Darcy's like boob meat?
No, Kara is a fun girl. Bet you this is why she's not with Guillermo no more, because when she goes out, she does stuff like that. And you know what? I'm all for it. I have friends like that. It's they're fun girls. They have a good time. They have a few drinks. So no, that was a normal thing for me. I feel like Cara probably does that on a normal Tuesday
Especially if she's drinking early.
night. Yeah, like that's just an after party at a bachata concert for Cara. Like, that's just fun shit.
Yeah, and then I made a tweet. I mean, I screenshot it, of course, and I made a tweet and I said, Kara equals boing
I mean, she wouldn't lick the nipple part. She just would lick the boob part, you know?
chata.
And I don't even know how legit Darcy's nipple would be, because don't they have to cut the nipple off every time they do the surgery? So I'm sure there's no living tissue left in that nipple anyway.
Darth probably didn't even feel it anyway.
I'm pretty sure she can't feel a motherfucking thing. Like, they've cut that thing off like 700 times and put new implants in there over and over and over. So yeah, it's probably just a piece of dead skin at this point.
Yeah, it's a necrotic ass titty.
Yeah, but I mean, oh, and the licking the doorknob was that was grosser than the toe for me. Because doorknobs are like, I have this thing.
Wait, so you would rather lick a doorknob than lick, or would you rather lick a doorknob or lick Jasmine's toe?
I mean, I don't want to do either, but doorknob, I have this thing ever since I was a kid. Like, if I had a long sleeve shirt on, I would pull the sleeve down over my hand and use it to open the door, because I always thought doorknobs were really, really dirty. So when I saw him lick the doorknob, I was like, ooh, that's really bad. Like, I couldn't do that. Cause like, yeah, I still do it to this day. I catch myself doing it. Like, if I'm in a public place and I have to reach for the door and I have like a long sleeve or a hoodie on, I'll pull the sleeve down and use the piece of clothing over my hand, so I don't have to touch the actual doorknob.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too. Let's see. And then one of my tweets was, it was a sarcastic tweet, but I said, yeah, the big tell-all bombshell is Kara got a drinking problem. We knew that she likes to throw them back, but that was me being sarcastic. So that I didn't think that part of it was that big of a deal. I mean, as far as like news. And then as far as like producer driven, I did a tweet where Sean Robinson asked like the cast members, like, who here thinks that there is a future for Kara and Guillermo, and then everyone goes around saying like, "Yeah, I think there's a future together. Yeah, I think like they just have to like talk." I forget the exact words, but it's like, "Yeah, they just have to talk out, their feelings, probably like in a therapeutic manner, therapy manner." So anyway, my tweet says, "This is a segment where they got where when they get the other cast members to covertly promote Kara and Guillermo being on the next season of Last Resort." So I posted that as well.
Yeah, I saw that. You were right. That was like their little promo. Do you remember the last season of Happily Ever After for the tell-all? It's funny because we're on this one now. It was Rob and Sophie. Sean had Sophie, she asked Sophie the question, like, do you think that you could work things out with Rob if you guys were to go to were to go to therapy? Sophie's like, yeah, I've always wanted to go to therapy. I wanted Rob to go to therapy with me. And that was kind of their promo.
Exactly. Yeah, they did that with Sophie and Rob.
They did.
And then like Shekinah and Sarper had that same conversation on one of their tell-alls too.
Exactly. So you've gotten it to the point where you can actually point out their self promos in the tell-alls. That's how obvious it's becoming.
Well, it's obvious, but I want to pretend like it's because we're brilliant.
I mean, we've been watching and doing this. It's almost like we're, you know how you do a job for a really long time and you become a crew trainer and then you become like the manager. Like, I feel like we're up at the regional manager's position. We've been doing the job for so long. We've trained people, you know, we've managed it, and now we're like in the regional management. Like, we've been doing this for so freaking long. We just know we can see things before everybody else. Like,
I think we're in the suites with the execs, but yeah.
I mean, we're pretty high up. Remember, I was the first one. I was like, hey, anybody notice that Tiger Lily and Adnan haven't been on Happily Ever After in a while? Remember, nobody else had caught that. And I didn't know the full story yet. Like, I knew that there was issues behind the scenes, but no one had told me that they had been fired yet. You know, that's just how we've been doing this for so long. It's like we can see the warning signs. It's like we're doctors. You know, you go to the doctor's office, and before you can finish explaining to the doctor your symptoms, they already know what's wrong with you. I feel like that's who we're like at that point. We already know.
Yeah, basically. Let's see. Oh, and then Kara said something like it was about Julia, where she's like, I can be at your house in 2.5 hours, like, because they're both in Virginia, in case Julia needs like Kara to take care of her baby. And then I, of course, had to jump on that opportunity to make a tweet. And I said, Kara, if this applies to bloggers as well, let me know, because technically I'm probably 2.5 hours away as well. But anyway, that's a whole nother side topic.
Oh, that's it. Just 2.5 hours.
I don't have a Google it, but I don't know.
That's pretty close. Yeah, that was nice of Kara to say she would help out with the baby, though. That was nice. It's funny because everyone's like, oh, Kara's not a girl's girl, and she doesn't have the girl code. And I was like, well, that was very nice of her to say that she was gonna drive 2 hours to help take care of somebody's baby. Like, that's a girl's girl if you ask me, right?
Yeah, I agree. So that was cool.
Driving 15 minutes to take care of your baby. So that was pretty nice of her, right? Like, that was nice.
It was better than Jasmine.
Well, yeah, Jasmine is just like, oh yeah, we're a sisterhood here. And I'm like, girl, shut up. Go take care of your babies. Shut up. You ain't no sister to nobody.
True. So those were all my tweets.
That's it? That's all you got?
I think so. Yeah.
You've been shooting out less and less tweets. That's how
I
I
go for quality over quantity.
Well, I know that this season sucks because you used to tweet out a lot because you used to post like 20 tweets on Instagram alone every week. And
Well,
the number.
I feel like my happily ever after tweets are still like over, they're solid, but like my other way tweets, I do like one other way tweet.
Yeah, you're right. I remember I would be watching it and I would be on my like 40th tweet of the show and I would be on my timeline and I would see you pop up like once. And I was like, where the hell you been at? Where you been? And you're just like, this is all I got. Like, I can't make nothing out of or something out of nothing. You're like, this is all I got. And this took time. You know, like, I can't just talk about nothing.
It'll take me like 2 hours to watch a 1 hour other way show, but that's just because I get bored or something.
I mean, I felt like Happily Ever After this season was boring too. But I don't know. I usually can pull about 40 or more tweets out of the other or out of Happily Ever After, and the other way at least 30 to 35. But I'm a really quick typer. Like, I think I type like 75 words a minute.
Also, like you do like a lot of like text-based tweets. Like my tweets, I always do like a photo with it, so that takes more time, isn't
Mine are just text.
it?
So yeah, and I type really, really fast. So like I can probably send five tweets in a minute. Because if you go and look at my tweets and you look at the timestamps, I think somebody mentioned it to me once. They were like, you fire off like five or six tweets in 2 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, the second the thought pops in my head, I basically have already typed it out. I type really fast. I took typing starting in fifth grade, and then I've just perfected it. So like I can type so fast. It sometimes it blows my mind at how fast I can type.
So you don't, do you ever do like, what's it called? Speech to text or text to speech or whatever, speech to text, I don't know.
Oh, so here's the thing, because I have a friend that she live tweets other shows and she does text voice to text for her tweets. I always live tweet on my laptop. I very rarely live tweet on my phone, and a lot of people tell me like, "Oh, you got to do the voice to text. You could do it faster." And they're right, but for some reason, I just have this weird habit where it feels weird. Oh, I answer the replies on my phone. So like after the phone go or if the show goes off and I'm like doing other stuff, when people reply to my tweets, I'll answer them with voice to text from my phone, like if I'm in the kitchen or I'm unloading the dishwasher. But like when I'm watching the show, I literally sit in front of the TV with my laptop in my lap and I'm like physically tweeting like it's the 80s. Like I don't know why I can't come up with the times and do the voice to text. So wait, do you do the voice to text when you live tweet?
No, like, have I ever done that? Yeah, but that's not like my go-to.
Yeah, me neither. And I don't know why. I don't know why. It's really weird. But and everyone asked me if I do, because that was the first thing that people said. They were like, "Do you use the voice to text? Because you shoot off tweets really fast." And I was like, "No, I'm like manually, old-fashionedly typing it on my computer, like a 150-year-old person. Like that's literally what I'm doing."
The only thing I get annoyed with the voice text, like I get annoyed where even if it like even if it has like most of it right, but then it has one word wrong, then I have to go back and manually fix it, I get annoyed.
Oh yeah, you have to go back and edit it. It's funny because if I don't catch it right away, because you only get like I think an hour to edit the tweets. Sometimes I have to go back and reread my tweets and delete some that don't make sense because I was firing off so fast. Every now and then they don't even make sense because like I'll be typing one and then another one will come to mind, so I need to get rid of the one I'm typing so I can get the other one typed out before I forget it. And then sometimes they don't even make sense. It'll be like the wrong word, or it'll say, "Well, Jasmine said the Jasmine," instead, like it'll be completely wrong. But my mind works faster than my hands, so I try to keep up.
True. All right. Well, like, I'm gonna read some of the live chat room stuff before we end it.
Oh yeah, what are they talking about? What are you guys talking about?
Let's see. Lana says her daughter Lysols every damn door she has to touch.
Wait, does she have like Lysol on her keychain? Like, do they make like a little tiny Lysol? Because if so, where do I buy that? I would do that.
I don't know, but then she says, same here, George. I can type my ass off except on my phone. And then Amber Lee was like, boob meat question mark.
Wait, did I say boob meat?
And now I did in reference to Darcy. I call her
Oh,
tits boob meat,
they do look
just to be
like.
funny.
They do look like really thick chicken breasts. They do, right? Like if that was a chicken breast, that would be like the juiciest chicken breast in the world, wouldn't it?
Sorry, Amber Lee. I meant titty meat. Is that better?
I like the boob meat. What's wrong with boob meat? I
No,
like boob meat.
I was trying to be funny and it worked because Amber Lee was laughing. See, these are all calculated comedic, things that are injected in there. Sherry, she says, "That's right, guys. You were so right." And she says, "I was really hoping they could work it out." This is in reference to Kara, I assume. She's just not ready to settle down and be a wife and a mother. And then Lana was like, yeah, her career is the number one priority right now. And then Lana said, I'm just reading from like newest to oldest. She says, like, they say a drunk person speaks truth. She said a lot of hurtful shit, I'm sure. For sure, Shabooty. And then good words, George.
Oh, I don't know what I said, but thank you. But yeah, I said this a long time ago. I thought that Kara and Guillermo were a really pretty couple, but being pretty doesn't make you get along. So I think they're very, like I said, they're unmatched. And I don't think that they ever really thought about their future together. They just thought she's pretty, he's pretty, let's have a baby or let's get married. I don't think they thought past that. Because when it comes to like compatibility, I've been looking at their, personality traits and character traits, and I don't see any compatibility between the two of them, right? Like he doesn't even like music. He doesn't even like going to her shows. Like, if someone's a singer, it would help if you're in a relationship with someone that might also be a singer or might be a rapper or might be a songwriter, might be a producer. That would make things a lot easier because you're both used to that that consistency and dedication, but they don't even like the same stuff. So I was like, I don't even know how they ended up together in the first place.
The bloom is off that rose. They're out of the honeymoon phase for sure, to say the least. And then, yeah, she says, my mom was an alcoholic, and when she was drunk, she was so mean, especially to my dad. So yeah, I think everyone kind of agrees with everything we said. Anyway, I think that was, I mean, I can keep going back, but I feel like those are mo or I'll read one more. I think this is a reference to Julia. She's annoying as fuck. This is Jenny says she's annoying as fuck. I was old and fat when I got pregnant, and I never considered myself high risk. Laugh out loud. I only saw a specialist out of precaution, but I had a very healthy pregnancy, so she's just super annoying.
Yeah, she is. And again, I'm sympathetic, you know, that she had lost her baby in the past or whatever. I just think that she's milking this, right? Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, when someone's getting married, they turn into like a bridezilla, they milk it and they get everyone to do things for them and they make themselves the center of attention. She's doing this with her pregnancy, and it's just kind of annoying, you know? Like, you're not the first lady to have a baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not the first, you ain't gonna be the last. Lots of people have done this, you know, so get over it. Stop acting like you don't want to tell nobody. Stop milking it out. Because at the end of the day, that baby is coming. Whether you're ready to tell people or not, it's going to pop out. You know, like it's going to pop out.
True, and I know the fans want to hear from Lana, but if it's okay, can we save it for Friday? Because it's a school night for me.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. It's kind of late. It's kind of late, and I have to make a call.
Yeah.
Somebody already, and they're probably gonna be asleep, but I gotta wake their ass up because it's important. So,
True. Yeah, but we'll catch up Friday, hopefully with Lana. And yeah, it's a school night, and but I think we did a good show as far as part two tell all.
yeah, this was good. Tomorrow's the other way. I think episode 11, right? I think we're on 11. I think we got, oh shit, like 8 or 9 to go. It's gonna be a while. I think after Christmas before we're done, but.
True, Arya, and be sure to listen to last Friday's episode because it was a funny one, and Coco was there, and Captain was there, and everyone was there except Gina. Well, Gina was listening at least.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun reunion. Everybody go listen to that. I listened to it 2 different times. I listened to it the day after, and then I listened to it again today because that's how good it was. Is it weird that I think we're entertaining and I listen to us as entertainment? Is that weird? Because is that like if you were a singer and you listen to your own song?
No, I feel like it's good because I think you even said because you'll pick up in the playback, you'll pick up things or hear things that you might have missed live because obviously a lot of people are talking at once, and you'll probably listen hear new shit that you didn't hear before.
I did. I know. I did. I heard a few comments that were funny that I missed because I was talking over the person. So yeah, it's good. So if you didn't listen to it, go listen. It was fun. It was a good reunion, and I've already listened 2 times, so you should go listen.
True, yeah. The one I'm not saying The one obviously, not to be all narcissistic, but there's a line. I'm not even saying it's like the funniest joke or anything, but I personally I thought it was funny where I was obviously being funny, where I was like, oh, because I think what's her name? Captain says something about Meatball Danielle that she's from I forget what country she said Meatball Danielle's from, and then I was like, oh, I thought Meatball Danielle's from Italy because isn't that where meatballs are from?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty
I
funny.
assume the same. Well, no, I actually thought she was from wherever dog shit is from. So I just assume. But yeah, that would make more sense. She would come from Italy and she ran from that country. I'm assuming because she owes taxes.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's Jenny, or I guess Pineapple Girls. Jenny, she says Cuban maybe or something. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that's what she said, Cuban descent, but she denies it, which is a weird flex. I think Cuban people are amazing. Why would you deny that? That's stupid.
True, I agree. All right, well, I guess I'm gonna do my outro. So then hopefully I can upload this tonight, hopefully, if I'm smart. So I guess I'll do my outro now. Thank you, everybody, for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on a
On a Sunday.
Peace out.
Peace out, everybody.